I'd been in the office no more than 20 minutes that morning. I'd opened the French doors out onto the second-floor balcony to let in some fresh air, and I'd put on the coffee pot. It was June in Santa Teresa, which means chill morning fog and hazy afternoons. I was just sorting through the mail from the day before when I heard a tap at the door, and a woman breezed in. "Oh, good, you're here," she said. "You must be Kinsey Milhone. I'm Beverly Danziger." We shook hands, and she promptly sat down and started rooting through her bag. She found a pack of filter-tip cigarettes and shook one out. "I hope you don't mind if I smoke," she said, lighting up without waiting for a response. She inhaled and then extinguished the match with a mouthful of smoke, idly searching about for an ashtray. I took one from the top of my file cabinet, dusted it off, and passed it over to her, offering her coffee at the same time. "Oh, sure, why not?" she said with a laugh. "I'm already hyper this morning, so I might as well. I just drove up from Los Angeles right through the rush hour traffic. God!" I poured her a mug of coffee, doing a quick visual survey. She was in her late 30s, by my guess, petite, energetic, well-groomed. Her hair was a glossy black and quite straight. The cut was angular and perfectly layered so that it framed her small face like a bathing cap. She had bright blue eyes, black lashes, a clear complexion with just a hint of blusher high on each cheekbone. "What can I help you with?" I asked. "I'm hoping you can locate my sister for me," she said. She was searching through her handbag again. She took out her address book, a rosewood pen and pencil set, and a long white envelope which she placed on the edge of my desk. She opened the address book and turned it so that it faced me, pointing to one of the entries with a rosy fingertip. "You'll want to make a note of the address and telephone number," she said. "Her name is Elaine Bolt. She has a condo on Via Madrina, and that second one is her address in Florida. She spent several months a year down in Boca." I was feeling somewhat puzzled, but I noted the addresses while she took a legal-looking document out of the long white envelope. "How long has she been missing?" I asked. Beverly Danziger gave me an uncomfortable look. "Well, I don't know if she's missing exactly. I just don't know where she is. And I've got to get these papers signed. I know it sounds dumb. She's only entitled to a ninth interest, and it probably won't come to more than $2,000 or $3,000. But the money can't be distributed until we have her notarized signature. Here, you can see for yourself." I took the document and read through the contents. It had been drawn up by a firm of attorneys in Columbus, Ohio, and it was full of whereases, judges, orders, and whatnots, which added up to the fact that a man named Sidney Rowan had died, and the various people listed were entitled to portions of his estate. Beverly Danziger was the third party listed with a Los Angeles address, and Elaine Bolt was fourth with an address here in Santa Teresa. "Sidney Rowan was some kind of cousin," she went on garrulously. "I don't believe I ever met the man, but I got this notice, and I assume Elaine got one, too. I signed the form and got it notarized and sent off, and then didn't think any more about it. Then, lo and behold, I got a call last week from the attorney to say they'd never heard from Elaine. Naturally, I assumed she'd gone off to Florida, as usual, and just hadn't bothered to have her mail sent. So I got in touch with the manager of her condominium here. She hasn't heard from Elaine in months. Well, she did at first, but not recently." "Have you tried calling the Florida number?" I asked. "From what I understand, the attorney tried several times. Apparently, she had a friend staying with her, and the attorney left his name and number, but Elaine never called back. Tilly had about the same luck."
"Tilly?"
"The woman who manages the building here where Elaine has her apartment residence. Tilly's been forwarding the mail, and she says Elaine usually drops her a little note every other week or so, but she hasn't heard anything since March."
I was taking notes, but I suppose the skepticism was showing in my face.
"What's the matter? Isn't this the sort of work you do?"
"Sure, but I charge $30 an hour plus expenses. If there's only $2,000 or $3,000 involved, I wonder if it's going to be worth it to you. In all honesty, it sounds like something you could handle yourself." Beverly gave me a smile then, but it had a hard edge to it, and I realized that she was used to getting her way.
"Elaine and I are not on the best of terms," she said smoothly. "I feel I've already devoted quite enough time to this, but I promised the attorney I'd find her so the estate can be settled. He's under pressure from the other heirs, and he's putting pressure on me. I can give you an advance if you like."
She was back on her bag again, coming up with a checkbook this time. She uncapped the rosewood pen and stared at me.
"Will $750 suffice?"
I reached into my bottom drawer. "I'll draw up a contract," I said.